Welcome to Day Zero Update for August 18th, 2024. I'm your host, Chris Elogi.
And I'm Brandon Perkins.
Yeah, just a two-man crew this week. Dan Rib is out, I believe, at... I forget which con it is. But, yeah, he's out at something this
week. Yeah, weekend. It's one of them.
So, yeah, he'll probably report on whatever he's been doing there. But, yeah, going to be a busy week this week as we have...
Oh, yeah.
A ton of companies decided to announce dates for their games for the next couple of months because it's coming up pretty soon for a lot of these games, so they need to get dates locked down. So, yeah, we'll get to talking about a lot of that stuff. A couple of things that got delayed, as well as some more industry news of various natures. One developer returning from the dead. Yeah, a couple of acquisitions and some layoffs and stuff like that. So yeah, we'll get to that stuff here, but before we do that, we'll talk about what we've been playing, and I'll kick it off here. I've been playing some Castaway that just came out this week. This is on everything. It's like an $8 Zelda style game. Major difference between it and Zelda is that the sort of campaign is pretty quick. You can beat it in about an hour at most, because it is a tutorial for the main mode, which is this tower of combat challenges that I believe is 50 floors. The best I've done so far is 26, because it is tough and it introduces things that are not in that quick little campaign. Yeah, the campaign just has your you're on this spaceship above this planet that gets shot at for some reason, crash lands, and you lose a couple of these items. They get taken away by these creatures, and then that leads you to go into three dungeons and beating the bosses to kind of learn how the combat works. Your main weapon is your sword, as you would expect. It controls a bit differently than a Zelda game. There's no, like, hold down for a spinning attack. At least I haven't really... used anything like that. I don't think there is anything like that, but it has more of a directional result to it when you're attacking enemies, especially in the challenge tower. You have coins dropping from enemies, and those enemies can kind of go in a good bit of different directions depending on how you're attacking them. So there's that. Then you get a pickaxe, which you can use to break up rocks that are in your way, or take a heavier, it'll be like a heavier attack on enemies, but it's also much slower than the sword, so not useful for certain types of enemies, but useful for others. There's one that has a big rock on its back, so you're kind of breaking it up so you can attack the main part of the enemy, kind of thing. And then the last one is a grappling hook that you're mainly grappling on these crystals to get around gaps and such, and yeah, but yeah, the campaign has five difficulties. I just played through on normal. It wasn't too hard. I died a few times, but nothing really all that challenging. But then they have a speedrun mode that's, I think, a little bit harder, and then there's the unfair difficulty that I believe is a one hit kill. Then you lose, you know, all your progress in the campaign for that. So there's trophies associated for those two modes, as well as it just has trophies associated for almost everything you do. You know, getting each of the weapons, getting the keys for the boss rooms, getting the extra heart containers, beating the bosses, all that kind of stuff. And the trophy names are all, they could use a better writer. I think this is a small studio that made Lunark recently, so it's kind of largely a one person team, but they've hired, you know, a few other people to help them out on programming and art and that kind of stuff. This is a person that worked on a number of indie games like Shovel Knight Showdown. What are the other ones? I'm blanking on them, but a couple of noteworthy indies out there, so they have a pretty cool track record. So this game works out pretty well, but the tower is kind of the main thing here. And it is pretty challenging. So no matter what amount of health that you have going into it, you get zapped by the door and it zaps you back down to 2 hearts from the 5 that I start at the beginning. And so you're going through it's not randomly generated, any of these floors. So you do get the benefit of knowing like, oh, there's 2 enemies in the first floor that are not too hard, but you in sort of a Vampire Survivors kind of vein, as you take down enemies, they drop coins that fills up your XP bar. And, you know, when you get a level up, it gives you a choice of 3 upgrades to get. So you can upgrade the weapons separately. You can get a shield that adds on to your heart thing. You can also upgrade your hearts, and you get this orb that is like the holy books in Vampire Survivors, kind of circles around you.
Yep.
Though it's not an infinite thing, it takes like 3 or 4 hits for it to disappear. But and what else is there? You can get.
Mm-hmm.
You can just refill your health if you are in that kind of shape for that, as well as I think there's maybe one more. Speed is another one for walking around and dodging. And so, yeah, there are other trophies that we're getting every 10 levels, so 10, 20, 30, 40, and 50 floors to beat it, mm-hmm. as well as upgrading each of those things to the max.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like a good strategy is kind of just trying to get a run to max out that stuff, but does not level up as fast as you might expect.
Oh yeah.
If I'm lucky, by the time every 5 floors is a room that lets you get some crates that you can refill health and get some coins to upgrade your level. So if I'm lucky, I'll get to that first 5. Level 5 with the ability to get my second health up or my second level upgrade for that, and you know, maybe to my 3rd by 7 or 8. So it kind of slows down a bit as you go, but I've gotten like up to 4 or 5, level 4 or 5 for that. So it is definitely a good bit of a challenge, especially dealing with the combat, because you deal with your basic type of enemy, which is almost like a big red kind of crab looking enemy. There's a brown version that spawns 3 smaller crabs that will come at you. I tend to use the grappling hook for that stuff because it's a quicker attack there. Then you have these robots that'll shoot, you know, distance shots at you. And if you hit the beam or the bolt, it'll reflect back to them.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing, and you get one early on that has 2 of those guys hanging across a gap, so that's kind of an easy way to kind of start taking some shots. And then pretty quickly in the like 10 to 15 range, you get one with 3 of those, and that's where it kind of starts getting hectic. You have to use the grappling hook to grab the coins on those kind of stages, but you can't, they disappear pretty quickly, the coins, so.
Mm-hmm.
There is that kind of frustrating part of it. The issues I kind of have with it is that there's some control stuff that I think could be a bit better. Like if you dodge roll into a wall, you jump back more than I think you should. Because I've had times where I'm trying to dodge roll through an area pretty quickly. And you're essentially at like a T-shaped intersection and you're trying to make a turn. Get up to the wall and you bump into it. It bumps you back out of the horizontal row. So like your ability to kind of roll through pretty quickly can be a bit frustrating. And sometimes it's just picky about letting you through gaps if you're trying to dodge roll through them, or even just walk through them. There's some stuff like that that I think could be tightened up a little bit. But the way it is, it's a good time. And for $8, it's a pretty solid game for the price. Nothing too amazing or anything, but a fun time. Visuals, I would say it's almost like a GBA level game, but with more chibi graphics. to it. It's almost like a chibi GBA kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
Music kind of reminds me of some of Shovel Knight's music. Mm. Know, some of that kind of whiny chiptune kind of music to it. That's pretty cool. So yeah, that stuff is pretty good. So I would recommend checking that out if you want like a quick little small game that's not going to be easy, at least past the main campaign, but still has some fun to it. Working my way through it, I've gotten up to 26, level 26, so about halfway. But yeah, there's that. Played some Creatures of Ava. This is an Xbox and PC game that is on Game Pass. It is billed as a creature saver. Essentially, you're a human who's been sent by humanity to this planet called Ava because some climate catastrophe is going to happen, and you're trying to save as many of the species as you can. But your ship kind of crash lands into the planet, and you do meet the kind of native humanoid species that humans have dealt with before. Probably in a bit of a negative way, because you have a number of them that are kind of apprehensive to being nice to your character, even though she kind of has a more altruistic, you know, wanting to save the various creatures here kind of thing. Though they also have kind of a tribal kind of viewpoint on things, like, well, if you're meant to go, then that is fine kind of thing to them. But you're kind of getting your operations up and running, because it's been like 20 years since the humans have been there. So you're kind of getting things going. At the point where I am at, I'm kind of exploring the world a bit more, running to these bots that essentially transports creatures up to the Ark ship, I guess they call it. I forget what the specific name is, but ship to house all these creatures. And they'll tell you, like, oh, there's two of these creatures. Nearby, and you're going around and you play a flute to get the creatures to kind of follow you, and they'll show you like the pattern. It's the way the notes are laid out is kind of in a circle. You point in different directions for certain amounts of time to play the notes, and you know, if you don't have the creatures following you quickly, they'll show you the pattern to play to get them to follow. So you're doing that kind of stuff. But there's also an infection that's taken over the planet. So you find infected creatures, which is where the closest thing this game has to combat is, which just involves you using this weird pole that you find to essentially like lock this beam onto these creatures. And it kind of fills up a meter. And when that meter fills up, you have sort of purged the infection from them. So that's kind of another means for collecting these creatures is through that kind of stuff. And you do get that to upgrade at certain points where other enemies that are nearby, if they run into the beam while you're zapping one creature, they'll get added on as a daisy chain kind of effect. So that kind of is a neat little thing. But yeah, you're kind of just going around taking, talking to people, doing a bunch of stuff. And seeing, you know, what they're doing. And yeah, that's largely what I've seen of it. A couple hours in, it seems pretty chill for the most part. I'm sure there's going to be some more conflict later on, but a lot of what you're doing is doing that. You do also need to take pictures of the creatures, because I guess, I don't know. It's one of those kind of cognitive dissonance things for these kind of games where it's like, why do I need to take pictures of these creatures? You know, humans have been here. Shouldn't they have cataloged these creatures before? Kind of thing. But they ask you to do it. And for each of the creatures, they have a list of things to do and take pictures of. You take like picture of the creature in its normal state and its infected state. Once it's friendly, you can pet a lot of them. So there's that, and you're unlocking just more information about the creature. Nothing that's, I think, all that crucial, but it's more flavor text kind of stuff. And you also have some for, you know, purging the infection off of them and collecting them for the ship, that kind of stuff. you're doing multiple times. So, but yeah, that's Creatures of Ava. Pretty solid game. Nothing really that it's doing that's super amazing, but it's a nice little chill time. So there's that. Still playing some more Dungeons and Degenerate Gamblers. I have gotten to the final. So the way this game works is it kind of, you go into this tavern, start playing again blackjack against a bunch of other people, and you kind of move up these from the beginning when you decide whether you're going to go up or down on the tower, on the tavern, to different levels below and above. And I believe it's 4 levels above and below. So I have gotten to the top level on the top, going up, which is a level called Hope, which is kind of a heaven-ish kind of area. I got destroyed by this person, angel kind of thing, because it was just kind of constantly doing damage with every card that it seemed to lay down. So if I didn't have a great hand that could heal me or shield me from damage, it just kind of tore through me. I couldn't beat it fast enough. So, but yeah, still enjoying that a lot. Still been playing. It's good for playing. I do like a quick run here or there most days. So that's been fun. So yeah, still working on the review. Hoping I could beat it at some point, but maybe not. It'll be like Balatro, where it took me like 30 hours to beat one run, and then it just starts getting easier from there. But still fun up to this point. So there's that. And then been playing some more Hollow Knight on my Steam Deck.
Yeah,
I have gotten the wall jump ability, so that's opened up a lot of the platforming in this game. As I've gone through the city, the rainy city that luckily is the one place that has, you know, water under these platforms that you can actually fall into and not die immediately. So that's pleasant. And yeah, managed to get through a bunch of that area to find, you know, some benches, and then finally find the bug that'll let you fast travel around, so I could get out of there and back to the surface. So I could kind of go back through some of my early areas and see where the wall jump can get me that I could not get before. So yeah, that's been pretty much what I've been doing. So how about you, Brandon?
Well, as for me, I am still playing like Dragon Infinite Wealth. I've gotten further along in that game, getting a better sort of the scope of the overall plot, sort of, you know, expanding out. Also had two of the old party members from the first game returning to the fold. Just for anybody who's played it, give you an idea of where I am at the game right now. But a lot of my gaming time has been sort of soaked up by CrossCode, because the last time we did the show, we talked about the announcement of Alabaster Knight, which was made by the developer of CrossCode. And that game in particular, Alabaster Dawn, uses a lot of the sort of gameplay ideas that CrossCode does. And I realized I had never played CrossCode. So I went and downloaded CrossCode. And now I'm, you know, kicking myself because this game is like 6 years old and I have never played it until now. And it's amazing. It's a legitimately amazing game. It's one of the most entertaining sort of retro throwback games I've played in a while. And it's also very well written, too, and sort of the slow sort of peeling back of the story of this game is just, it's a lot of fun. Basically, it's like the whole sort of idea is you're playing an avatar in a game that is supposed to be an MMO. Now, you're not, now the thing is, this avatar doesn't have, or apparently does not have, anybody behind the wheel. It's literally an avatar acting autonomously on their own. And because of that, there's like, they have a couple of issues. One of them being that because they don't really have anyone behind the wheel that can communicate, they're largely rendered mute. And only like at the part of this game where I've gotten the only words they've been able to use is their name, which is Leia, the word hi and the word bye. And that's it. Anything else, you know, they have to use body language or whatever to sort of show what it is they're trying to communicate. And like the actual sort of like the overall sort of plot of like the MMO game isn't terribly original. It's basically it's this old planet that humans colonized a while back. And when they got here, they found a bunch of old mechanical relics from this older alien race that had been extinct before they gotten there. And you're essentially trying to go around trying to discover the secrets of this technology and report back to the Seeker Hub, which is the place where you get all your main quests and stuff. And of course, there's a bunch of subquests and stuff like that. But the actual plot of this game is that you are playing an avatar of what's supposed to be a player, except you're acting as an autonomous avatar. You're trying to pretend that you're just, you know, another player. And there's all these ideas. It's like, what exactly is happening in this game that you're having to go in here basically pretending that you're a person you're not? And the fact that the game starts off in this prologue with like a completely different character that witnesses the death of her brother and everything, it's like, what in the world is going on here? Because there's definitely something here, and it's just sort of slowly pulling back, you know, the overall story and everything. And then there's like the actual gameplay. The gameplay is, you know, it's an action RPG. And of course, like your normal action RPG, you've got your regular, you know, your regular melee attacks. But you also have a projectile attack that works kind of like a twin stick shooter type thing, which is really cool. I've never seen that done in an action RPG before. And you're essentially having to sort of juggle between the two. And as the game goes on, you also get things like elemental powers that you can use with it. And there's a lot of puzzles in this game, too. And they're not easy puzzles either. Some of these are real brain benders and take a little bit of trial and error to get it right. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I am, honestly, I love this game, and I'm just surprised that it took me this long to play it. And now I'm anticipating Alabaster Dawn, which is apparently supposed to come out early next year. But anyway, and on top of that, I'm also playing Bendy and the Ink Machine, because I had been wanting to play that game seriously. I had poked and prodded at it here and there, but now I wanted to actually play it for real. And basically, that game is sort of your sort of kind of standard first-person psychological horror game where you're playing this guy who's like a retired animator returning to the old animation studio he used to work at and finding that the place is basically abandoned and decrepit. And there's a bunch of like old, there's like a bunch of like weird sigils and stuff painted on the walls and on the ground. And you start seeing some of these cartoon characters have come to life, and at one point you find that somebody had managed to dissect one of them, and it's just, it's really weird. I like it. I've enjoyed playing it, but the only issue is that all of the environments are kind of samey, which can be difficult, especially starting out, because the first part of the game can be difficult to navigate because of that. Not so much in the later parts, but the first part, definitely. But yeah, that's what I've been playing.
All right, so yeah, let's get to some news.
Yeah.
It is a second half of August, so that means the PlayStation Plus game catalog has been announced.
Mm-hmm.
For what will be the 20th, I believe.
Yeah.
So that'll be for extra and premium tiers.
Mm-hmm.
For here, there's The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt for PS4 and PS5.
Which, by the way, if you get that, that's if you got the PS5 version, that'll get you the free update that comes with it.
Yeah. Heard the PS5 version has some rough performance in some of the late game stuff.
Yeah, but that's also, I mean, that was also true of the original game as well. So, yeah.
So, yeah, that's a game to check out if you have not done so.
Yeah, seriously, it's an amazing game. Play it.
Yeah. For PS5, there's Wild Hearts Standard Edition.
Mm-hmm.
This is the EA Tecmo Koei partnered Monster Hunter clone, essentially, but featuring a lot more kind of Japanese folklore creatures of sorts. That is a pretty cool game from what I played of the handful of hours of the early parts of it. That, yeah, it's got some stuff that helps it kind of control a little bit more like other games, non-Monster Hunter games, that kind of stuff. But yeah, pretty easy to kind of get into, and you don't, at least until the next Monster Hunter game, is kind of one that doesn't force you to do a lot of loading into and out of areas. You're kind of more into a big open worldish kind of area here. So that's one to check out, especially while you're waiting for Wilds. So let's see, for PS4 and PS5, Cult of the Lamb. That is a very fun game that is essentially a take on, say, a mix of your standard kind of action roguelike kind of game with a kind of a base builder.
Yep.
The game is you're building up your cult, the Cult of the Lamb, with various creatures. And yeah, they've done a bunch of updates to add more. More stuff to do in the base, in your camp. So that's a game that's pretty cool and very weird for that. So yeah, definitely want to check out. Also for PS4, Ride 5. This is a motorcycle racing game. Some pretty solid stuff that I believe they're also pretty good at showcasing some of the DualSense features with your haptic feedback and trigger resistant stuff, so that's one to check out. And Ubisoft returning game here for the PS4, Watch Dogs 2. Still a fun game, but yeah, that one's one to worth checking out. Probably the best in the series. For one that kind of where the first game was all right and the new game is all right, and it was kind of the standout one. Then it looks like Namco Bandai has the rest of this list, because it's all anime games. Sword Art Online Last Recollection for PS4 and PS5. This is... sounds like a fighting game. Maybe it's not, but they mentioned the largest roster of SAO playable characters and sub-scenarios. This might be like a co-op kind of thing. Then there's, for PS4, Naruto to Boruto, Shinobi Striker. That is definitely a co-op game. One of those team up with up to three other people to take on missions and that kind of stuff. Various Boruto as well as Naruto characters. So,
yep.
There's that. Sword Art Online, Alicization Licorice. That is an RPG. So that's one to check out if you're into Sword Art Online. Then there's Sword Art Online, A Fatal Bullet. What is this one? This is third-person shooter action RPG kind of game.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then Sword Art Online, Hollow Realization. Just a pseudo-MMO RPG. Trying to see what... Big expansive world multiplayer mode with up to three other players online. And yeah. I think I might have that one in... It seemed okay, not knowing the source material or any of that. But so there's that. For the premium tier, the PSVR 2 game here is Vacation Simulator, which is well worth checking out. It's the sequel to Job Simulator, but instead of working jobs, you go to vacation spots to do stuff. So that's a fun one. And yeah, the other classics here are... one entire trilogy, the Time Splitters trilogy. So you got Time Splitters 1, which was a launch title for the PS2. Time Splitters 2, that was sort of the bigger game that has an actual campaign in it and multiplayer and all that. Then Time Splitters Future Perfect, which I believe was the one that was published by EA at the time. That does a lot of time travel stuff to it, so... That's another one to check out for all those. Those are all PS2 games, so You'll be able to have all the rewind and save states and all that stuff. So there you go for that. And then the last one here for the PS4 is Sword Art Online Lost Song. Mm-hmm. So we found another one here. This is a PS3 game that got a remaster on the PS4.
Yep.
Seems like another RPG-ish kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Aerial battles. Okay. Whatever the hell that means. So there you go. Pretty solid list there.
Oh, yeah. So if you're a Sword Art Online fan, you're eating well this time.
Yeah. You got all the seemingly mediocre Sword Art Online games you can handle here.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Let's see. Oh, yeah. We got a demo that's coming out tomorrow.
Yep.
For Amio, the Smiling Man Famicom Detective Club.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be out August 19th. You can transfer your save to the full game. They did mention that, yeah, they are sort of adding three parts to this demo. It'll initially feature the prologue in Chapter 1. Two further chapters will be added post-launch of the demo. Mm-hmm. Chapter 2 on August 22nd and Chapter 3 on August 27th. So that leads up to the game's launch, I think, on the 29th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the 29th. So you can play three chapters of the game, which is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
For that. So you can at least check out a good chunk of the game there.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, there you go.
Mm. Yeah, honestly, I'm just sort of one of the things about the fact that, you know, Nintendo is more confident in bringing a lot of these sort of older sort of Japanese exclusive titles over here to the West is that they're not just sort of letting them sit there either. They're actually like, you know what, we're going to go ahead and go back to this this franchise and make another installment.
Yeah. Yeah, because visual novels are blowing up big time now.
Mm-hmm.
All over the place. So, yeah, it's a pretty decent time to bring those games out and kind of modernize the old games and make a new one.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. This next one up here, Bakeru,
mm-hmm.
Comes from a Nintendo adjacent developer, Good Feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 3D action game. It has a demo out now on the Switch eShop. It'll only be coming to the Switch and PC on September 3rd, so
mm-hmm.
That's one to keep an eye on. It'll be $40 when it launches. So,
mm-hmm.
The trailer I saw of this looks pretty cool for what it is. Definitely a different kind of art style than they typically have done. Cause I believe this is the developer of the Yoshi games.
Yep. And it looks good.
Yeah. Yeah, they did, let's see, Wario Land Shake It, Kirby's Epic Yarn, Yoshi's Woolly World,
mm-hmm.
Then Poochie and Yoshi's Woolly World, Mario and Luigi Dream Team, they worked on that.
Yep.
Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn, Yoshi's Crafted World,
mm-hmm.
and most recently, Princess Peach Showtime.
Yep.
This is published by Spike Chunsoft.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll actually go on sale
mm-hmm.
on a regular basis. So you can check that out whenever. But yeah, this looks neat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when you can check out here in a couple weeks. A little bit later than that, so we finally got a date for the Plucky Squire.
Mm-hmm.
That'll finally be out on, let's see, PS5, Xbox, Series X and S, Switch, and PC on September 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of that announcement, they have announced that they are also coming to the PlayStation Plus game catalog for launch.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have PlayStation Plus Extra or Premium, you'll be able to check that game for no extra cost
mm-hmm.
For that. So, yeah, Devolver kind of shaking off the... I feel like recently in the last year or two, they've talked about how the Game Pass stuff isn't doing great for them.
Mm-hmm.
So this must be a pretty good deal for them if they're putting this game that I feel like has been kind of highly anticipated for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Has just been kind of hanging back and not being pushed too much until it's ready to go. So this is the kind of action adventure game set in a bunch of like 2D and 3D worlds. of sorts, depending on how you're going around. Almost like a Super Mario Odyssey, where they had the pipes to go into like a 2D Mario kind of stage, but in the 3D world kind of stuff. I think they do stuff similar to that, but do a bit more seamless transition there. So, yeah, that looks really cool. Looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be out next month.
Right.
Let's see. Also in September, Shadows of Doubt is finally coming out. For the consoles, PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC, out of early access to its 1.0 launch. So,
yep,
that'll be great.
Yep, getting it day one. This is one of those games I have really been anticipating.
Yeah, it'll be $25 at launch, so that'll be cool to see. I've heard good things. It's kind of a an investigation game with a bit more procedurally generated open world kind of stuff to it.
Yep.
Ways that you kind of get around and figure out some kind of maybe a more immersive sim kind of way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
In like a 1980s kind of punk, cyberpunk kind of setting.
Yeah. Has like a whole alternate history timeline to go along with it.
Yeah.
Frankly, the universe that they live in is kind of terrifying. And you'll slowly, as you sort of get like the idea of what the world is like in this universe, like, why is it that I'm living in this city and why is this city like completely surrounded by water? There's a reason.
Yeah. That's kind of a nice voxel, looks like voxel and PS1 level of graphics to it. That is pretty cool. So, yeah. That's one to check out. That's also out in September, so keep an eye out for that. And then in October, we start getting some spooky stuff.
Yeah.
First up here with Sony announcing that the Until Dawn remake will finally be out on PS5 and PC October 4th. They kind of shared a trailer of showing you the visual improvements and such for, I think, the first chapter or so, basically up to the point where the teens are regrouping again in the cabin after the unfortunate events of the year prior.
Yeah.
It actually seems like a lot of work is going into the lighting, which I've seen people be mad at this, but it also seems more realistic in the way that's being dealt with here. As the, you know, those games are, especially the once you get past the intro, like those games are supposed to be set, I think as the start is like in the early evening as they're approaching, but it's pitch black out. Like it's, they've shown up at midnight for some reason. So they kind of have lighting that's better on that front, kind of probably showcases better the progression of time as you get to like the evening hours of the sun setting to, you know, the middle of the night where it's pitch black and, then getting into, you know, where they're waiting until dawn, surprisingly, that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, since they are putting this out on PC, and you're not necessarily guaranteed to have a controller with gyro, the gyro mode in it for, what it's called here. Yeah, don't move mechanic has been changed into something called stay calm, which allows you to have a version of that for controllers that don't have gyroscope or if you want a different kind of challenge there. Because there were definitely people that had issues with it. But yeah, I assume they're going to have plenty of accessibility options and all that, so that'll be cool to see. So yeah, that original game's like one of the few horror games I really like, and that's partly because you're not really doing any sort of survival horror stuff. You're not managing inventories of weapons and all that. You're just kind of pushing the characters along this progressive story that branches on occasion here and there. But you get to see all these dumb teens kind of fuck their way around this mountain and run into various awful things. So yeah, that's cool looking. So yeah, that'll be out in October for people to check out in the spooky season.
Yep. Spooky, scary season.
Yeah. So yeah, that's cool. Also, speaking of spooky games, WayForward and Boss Team Game Lost Team Games announced a partnership that they will be putting out a couple of games here on October 18th, I think. Yeah, October 18th. I don't know why it says 13th, but it's October 18th. This is part of a new franchise called Retro Realms. This Retro Realms Halloween and Retro Realms Ash vs. Evil Dead. Two games put out at once that are featuring these kind of classic franchises, horror game or horror movie franchises. Halloween, I believe they're working with, or they worked with, not Stephen King. Who's the other guy that's that wrote all that stuff?
Dane Koontz?
No, wrote Halloween.
Oh, John Carpenter.
Yeah, they worked with him on this game. It's kind of a 2D side-scrolling action platformer thing. We're playing as a handful of different characters, I believe, throughout it. And yeah, kind of a franchise that I'd seen had not really had any entries in it since like the Atari 2600 or 5200 or something. Way longer than you would think for how many licensed games were done in the 90s. But this is one that's only been like, hey, we put Michael into Mortal Kombat or Dead by Daylight, that kind of stuff. But as far as their own games, it's been a rare thing for the franchise. But yeah, you better check out these games. They are $25 each. You can get them $25 each. They're doing a physical double feature bundle for $50 with both of them. But yeah. The other one's Ash vs. Evil Dead, sort of based on the Showtime series. So they've got, I don't know if they have voice work in them, but if they do, I assume they would have the actual people. But yeah, that's cool. I see some more licensed games that are doing things in an interesting way versus just, you know, the licensed games we grew up on were just like, oh, we made a platformer out of Home Improvement somehow.
Yeah.
Features dinosaurs.
It makes no goddamn sense. Yeah.
Yeah, so these both look pretty cool, so yeah. You can check those out on the 18th. Then obviously the most Halloween game here, Dragon Age The Veilguard, finally has a date of October 31st, Halloween Day. You'll be able to start your adventure to fucking every character in that game.
Yeah.
If you want. So yeah, that's finally going to be coming out after being almost 10 years. The date when the last one launched, that was November 2014. So just short. They should just delay it. Just release it the same day. November 18th. Yeah. Just put it out then. Like whatever. But yeah, people will finally be able to check it out. PC, PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S. So that's cool. Hopefully it's good. Seems like the word of mouth around people have tried it out saying it's pretty good, so
all right,
see how that goes for the final version. But
all right,
They do have a special edition $150 one that includes some extra shit. Light up Lyrium dagger and a deck of cards based on the one Rook can play in the game.
I'm crossing my fingers here, okay?
Yeah.
Crossing my fingers here, because BioWare, you need a win. I'm just saying it right now.
Yeah.
You need a win.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's cool. Best of luck for BioWare.
Please. Kind of need it.
Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. You can check that out. Then yeah, the last one we have here that is actually got a new date, Skydance's Behemoth, the VR game that is going to PlayStation VR as well as PC VR and Quest, Meta Quest and all that. So that'll be finally coming out November 14th. That's the big game where you're facing off against giant behemoths. That looks pretty cool for that. So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see. Yeah. cool stuff there. So there are a bunch of other VR games that got dates and such. So there's a Trombone Champ VR game that's very weird that they're doing that, but cool. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there you go. But next up, we got a couple of delays. Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 is no longer coming out this year.
Mm-hmm.
They have announced that it'll be delayed to February 11th of next year. Which I think is a week before Avowed.
Yeah.
I think we had that news in one of the last couple of weeks. Yeah, February 18th mm-hmm. for that. So they're getting right ahead of the Microsoft Western RPG. So
there
you go. So they're going to be showing a bunch of stuff off at Gamescom here this week.
Yeah.
So we'll see more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other game that got delayed, Replaced. You might not remember this game, but this is a game that got announced at an Xbox showcase. It might have been at the, this was at their Summer Game Fest showcase in 2021. That was announced for a 2022 release. Mm. It got delayed to 2023. Then I think they stopped claiming it was going to be coming out.
Yeah.
Until 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got another show going at the Game Awards in 2022. Mm. And I guess people were expecting it to be coming out this year. No specific dates. But that has now been delayed to 2025. This is just Xbox and PC.
Mm-hmm.
Still planning for Xbox One, which is ambitious at this point. They'll keep working on that, but they put all this time into it. They might as well.
Mm-hmm.
It'll also be on Game Pass, so that's probably also why they're gonna keep going with it. So
yeah,
this is a long path for this game.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this was shown at Summer Game Fest this summer, which shows everything I remember about that show. So
yeah,
but this is one of those games that looks really cool. It's just hopefully it comes together at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Still waiting 4 years for this. After the last announcement, that was like, well, it'll be out next year.
Mm-hmm.
Hope it pulls together. But yeah, this game has a very cool art style and all that. It's like a 2D, mm-hmm. almost like a 2D version of the art style that Shadow of Doubt has.
Mm-hmm.
Shadows of Doubt. That kind of cyberpunk noir kind of look to it. But yeah, hopefully that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a neat game, but who knows. But let's get to our industry news here.
Mm-hmm.
Where Marvelous has announced that they are splitting up their Western publishing companies, Marvelous and XSEED, into Marvelous USA. Mm-hmm. XSEED Games that will be handling different titles. Marvelous will be handling the internal games that they are mm-hmm. publishing. The stuff like Daemon X Machina, Pharmagia, the Rune Factory, and Story of Seasons games.
Mm-hmm.
And then XSEED Games will be handling their third-party titles, like The Big Catch, Corpse Party 2, Darkness Distortion, mm-hmm. Moonlight Peaks, Potionomics, Masterwork Edition, and Ys Memoir, mm-hmm. The Oath and Fel'Ghana. So you might end up seeing the Falcon stuff. Falcom stuff under XSEED
mm-hmm.
Here. At least these weird old ones, I guess. I don't know why they're publishing an Ys game, but because that's all NISA.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe there's still some contract from publishing this game originally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we still got the deal on that one. You can't give it to those jerks.
Yeah.
Kind of splitting up their duties, which maybe that'll work out. Because I feel like until maybe Falcom left to get their stuff published by NISA, mm-hmm. XSEED was the only one of those brands you knew. You know, they had Marvelous was the parent company that mostly published under that name in Japan.
Yeah.
XSEED was their localization group over here. But now they've kind of grown to put more stuff out, so.
Mm-hmm.
That's neat. Hopefully that works out. But yeah, let's see. This happened like in the middle of our show last week that we just decided to push it to this week.
Yeah, this was, it was like an 11th hour thing. It happened, we were like almost finished with the show, and then this happened.
Yeah. So yeah, Krafton announced that they have worked out a deal with Microsoft to acquire Tango Gameworks and the Hi-Fi Rush IP. No idea how much of the studio is moving over. It seems like at least a good bit of it. The director of Hi-Fi Rush is moving over. Because, yeah, you might be wondering how this works. The laws in Japan for shutting down companies requires you to show hardship if you want to shut down a company, you know, completely. And Microsoft can't do that. So they have to essentially put the company in a state that they can take, you know, offers for acquisitions from other companies, or find ways to, you know, bring those people in-house, offer them other jobs in the company. But it seems like Krafton is the one that won out on this. I don't know how many other companies might have bid for this, but I assume not too many, and not for a ton of money, because the stuff they're getting here is not all that much, because Tango Gameworks was not a huge developer for that. But yeah, they are not getting the Evil Within or Ghostwire Tokyo IPs, nor the rights to Hi-Fi Rush, as like they're not getting the full rights to that game. Microsoft still owns the publishing rights for all that stuff. But for the future, Krafton is investing into Tango Gameworks and future Hi-Fi Rush games to be their own property, and that seems like a better outcome than before. And Krafton would certainly like an external, you know, an internal team that'll make something cool that does better than the Callisto Protocol did, which they spent a ton of money on that, and it did okay, but not definitely not what they wanted out of that company. But Hi-Fi Rush is probably a game that was made on a more modest budget and did pretty well for what it was, but with Game Pass and all that, that kind of limited their sales potential there. So yeah, it's cool for all the people there that are working, so they get to stick together. So yeah, that'll be great to see, and have a company like Krafton that has more interesting games than just PUBG. Though I guess they do also have Terra. They've acquired a few other developers. Neon Giants and some stuff like that, but not really anything that's stuck out too much. Neon Giants, the developers of The Ascent, so that's neat. But yeah, good news.
Yeah, very good news. Hi-Fi Rush is saved, because I'm glad that we're going to be getting more of those now, because that first game is amazing.
Yeah, from a slightly different huge company that has less reason to want to cut them out, you know, shut them down if they don't put out a huge banger of a game. So yeah, that's good. We got another acquisition here, Reforged Studios, which is kind of a developer slash publisher kind of hybrid deal. It's announced that they have acquired two studios, Ground Shatter and Extra Mile. Ground Shatter is best known for Fights in Tight Spaces, the very cool kind of card-based, turn-based strategy game of sorts, where you're playing as like an, you know, secret agent spy kind of Bond or hitman kind of thing, taking out a bunch of enemies on each map, kind of with a roguelike progression kind of thing. So that's cool. They seem to be into that. Extra Mile is the co-developer on Revolution Software's Broken Sword series, which they just announced a new release for that series this week. They're remaking one of the games in that series that people really liked, so they're kind of bringing that to modern platforms. But yeah, Reforged Studios seems to be an up and coming UK publisher
mm-hmm.
that is acquiring a number of developers, as they seem to say that they are working on more acquisitions.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see where that goes. But I tried looking at their website to figure out, like, what have they put out so far, and their website has literally nothing about games that they've put out.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, ah, we... Yeah, okay, here's the thing. It says, Reforged's goal is to acquire successful studios and provide them with additional support. Mm-hmm. They need to make the best games they possibly can.
Mm.
But I don't know what other studios they have or anything. It's just a bunch of buzzwords this page seems to have.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of mentioning the three people running it and job listings.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know what else they've had in the works, but I believe they were formed in last year, so probably yeah. still in the process of building themselves up, but hopefully that works out.
Yeah.
For that, so yeah, there you go. And now we'll get to some bad news here, layoffs. Ubisoft has laid off 45 jobs across its U.S. Offices. I don't think these are developer studios. These are more offices for, I assume, marketing and whatnot.
Yeah.
Because these are their offices in Cary, North Carolina, and San Francisco, California.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Their Cary team. Oh, this was formerly known as Red Storm Entertainment. Okay, so these are former Tom Clancy devs, so that might...
Yep, these are all former Tom Clancy people.
So that's... That's a franchise they don't do much with anymore?
No, I mean, they did the last, like, Tom Clancy thing I think they did was a Ghost Recon or something.
There's Breakpoints, and then they've been trying to make the Division games, which are Tom Clancy games.
Yeah, I guess.
That's weird. They made an Assassin's Creed Nexus VR game, and then
mm-hmm.
Their Division Heartland game was canceled, so
yeah,
they've had a great time. Mm-hmm. San Francisco was the lead developer on the Rocksmith series. I don't know if they're on the new one that just released.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, they worked on the South Park games when they had that, and then have worked on X Defiance.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a weird place, but yeah, the. I'm trying to see what's... Yeah, they just say the cuts were made to align their organizations with future business and development objectives.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, ah, oh, we needed to save some more money, so why not?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's on top of the huge pile of 1,700 they have cut in the last 3 years, so
mm-hmm.
that's at least a smaller number, but that still sucks.
Yeah.
For that, and last one here, not really sad news. Iron Galaxy co-CEO Adam Boys is leaving the developer after 8 years.
Yeah,
here for something new. Mm-hmm. He does not say in his blog post on the Iron Galaxy site, but talks about how much fun it's been to work there with his buddy Dave Lang and their other co-CEO, Chelsea Blasco, who will take over as the sole CEO of the company. I think Adam Boys was kind of the lead on Rumbleverse. That was kind of his baby for that. And that was a cool idea that just didn't get over the hump. It was something to keep working on, so they shut that down pretty quickly. But yeah. It's a great run at Iron Galaxy, like one of the few studios that seems to be doing right by their mm-hmm. workers, allowing, you know, remote working stuff to keep going on. And yeah, kind of not laying off people, kind of just
yeah.
managing the team properly so that they don't have to lay off people and try to just make working there is fun as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a rare thing these days, but since they're not a huge corporation, they don't have shareholders to deal with, so that's mm-hmm. good on them. So yeah, that is great. Hopefully he's doing some cool stuff. If you don't remember Adam Boyes, he was at Midway for a while back in the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Moved over to Capcom when they were doing, you know, the Bionic Commando remakes and the new Bionic Commando game and a bunch of other stuff. Then went over to PlayStation where he was head of their like third-party relations team, was in a couple of the PlayStation E3 showcases, that kind of stuff. So he's been around and done some cool stuff for some big companies. So I'll be curious to see where he ends up next, but we won't find that out until the end of the year. So that'll be a ways, but hey, maybe he goes back to Sony and takes over Bungie and they just kick Pete Parsons out of there and just tell him to go fuck off.
Yeah.
Let somebody that's seems like they could do a cool job with that studio, but that's just a guess. Who knows where he's going? Maybe he'll form his own new studio for some cool stuff, but we'll see. But yeah, that's that. So
yeah,
yeah. Unless you got anything else to add, Brandon?
Nope. Pretty much did it succinctly.
Yeah. So yeah, that's been a lot of news. A lot of stuff coming up here in the next few months, and yeah, we'll get some more as Gamescom is happening here.
Yeah,
this week coming up, and yeah, that's it's gonna be interesting. Opening Night Live is on Tuesday.
Yeah,
at like 2 p.m. our time, so 11 a.m. for Danrib's time on the West Coast, and
yeah.
We're going to try and co-stream that.
All right.
Be able to do that. And, but yeah, Jeff Keighley's thing, as he's been saying on Twitter, is like, we're going to have more from a lot of games you've seen at the various showcases and such over the last year or two. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
More of like Dragon Ball Sparking Zero. And I think the Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 and a bunch of stuff he's posted.
Are there any that you're in? That are there any possible reveals that you're anticipating?
I think he has said the new Tarsier Studios game is going to be announced there.
Yeah,
that's the developer of the Little Nightmares series.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be neat. Yeah, as for surprises, I don't know. I don't know that I really have anything I'm anticipating. He's already shut down any chance of Hollow Knight Spark, whatever, any sort of Hollow Knight reveal showing up again.
Yeah.
So, like, no Silk Song, so don't worry about that. But yeah, seems like a lot of fall and early next year games we're going to get.
Yeah.
The new Indiana Jones, we're going to see more of that. Maybe a date, I assume, if it's going to come out this year.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like the place to announce a date, but
yeah,
who knows? But yeah.
Yeah. I'm hoping that we'll finally get some gameplay footage for Exodus. That, for those who don't know, that's the new sort of sci-fi RPG game coming from Archetype Entertainment. They're made up of a bunch of old Mass Effect and BioWare alumni. And I am really anticipating that game, and I love what they revealed to the universe, and I really want to play it, and I just want to see what this game's going to play like. Now, obviously, that's going to be a long shot, because I still don't know how far along this game's development is in development, but, you know, I can dream.
Yeah. Yeah, the games he has mentioned will show up. Call of Duty Black Ops 6.
Yeah.
Monster Hunter Wilds, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle.
Yeah.
Little Nightmares 3, Dragon Ball Sparking Zero, Batman Arkham Shadow, which is the VR game.
Yep.
Dune Awakening, Marvel Rivals, Squid Game Unleashed. Yeah, they're making a Squid Game.
Yep.
Yeah, the new game from Tarsier Studios, Civilization 7, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, and Lost Records, Bloom and Rage.
Yeah.
That's the Don't Nod game.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that last one is one I'm also anticipating. But
yeah,
okay, we'll see what happens.
Of course, people in the comments are like, yeah, I want to see Kingdom Hearts 4 and, you know, all that stuff. And it's like, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Team Fortress 3. Like, yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. Like, maybe Valve will finally announce that they're actually making Deadlock.
that doesn't seem like what they want to do right now.
Yeah, even though the game, there's like tens of thousands of people already playing it.
Yeah. Even then, I don't know that they have any commitment to actually finishing that game.
Yeah.
They could just say like, yeah, this was interesting, but we're just going to be like, nah, cancel it.
Mm, we'll see.
Like they did the Dota card game they were trying to make that they put out, and then people played it for a bit, for a couple weeks, and then we're like, eh, we don't care about this anymore. And they're like, yeah, we're sorry about that. We'll just cancel it. You know, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. But, yeah, I'm not really anticipating too much. But I am hopeful maybe we'll get something from Sony.
Yeah.
That'd be nice to see something new.
Mm-hmm.
From them, but I'm not 100% sure what that could be. I'm trying to think who has anything. Maybe Ghost of Tsushima 2. Because we know they're working on that, but they've not officially announced anything. But that'd be cool if that's out next year.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, if it's not, then who cares? Just make it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whenever. But yeah, I'm trying to think what else could be coming out next year, but that's it.
All right.
I think we'll call the show there because, yeah.
Yeah.
That's everything we got to talk about. I'm trying to see what else is coming out this week. Yeah, there's Dustborn, Black Myth Wukong, which has really hit been a piece of shit that's hit a fan.
Yeah.
With all the reviews being very good.
Yeah.
The sort of do's and don'ts list for content creators, streamers.
Yeah, the oddly draconian one, I must.
Yeah, that has a lot of stuff you might expect if you're a studio with a toxic work culture that does not want anybody sort of streaming on behalf of them, mm-hmm. maybe saying anything pro-feminism or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that sounds like what a developer that's incredibly cocky about their ability to do whatever they want. But yeah, Concord's out this week.
Mm-hmm.
I am surprised that's actually coming out as like a paid game.
Mm-hmm.
The way that the talk was going, that they might just back it up and put it on PlayStation Plus there. But maybe they'll do that in a couple months if it's not going super well. But we'll see on that front. Next week is Gory, Cuddly Carnage,
mm-hmm.
World with a Gun, Vampire Survivors, Visions of Mana, Star Wars Outlaws, the MEO.
Yeah.
That's out next week. So,
yeah.
Everybody's trying to get their game in at the end of the month.
So. Star Wars Outlaws. Is that the single player Ubisoft Star Wars game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. I'm waiting to see the reviews for that one. Because that's like when people talk about like Star Wars content, that's the kind of Star Wars content I want.
Yeah, there was weird chatter of like, oh, did you know that you can't kill NPCs and steal vehicles and all that? I was like, yeah, I didn't think that was going to be in there.
Yeah, it's not GTA, dude.
And it's like people thinking it's an open world game. You're driving a vehicle, so obviously you can do everything GTA does, and it's like, that's not what a Star Wars game would do.
No.
Like, you're an outlaw, but you're not a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, Han Solo was an outlaw, and he certainly did not kill tons of people for no reason.
No. Except for that one time, but he had it coming.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when he's getting threatened by somebody, then he's gonna do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he was a guy that supposedly had no political leanings, but then joined the rebellion to get with Princess Leia. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that you're going to go that route in Outlaws, but I think you would expect similar sort of leanings of he wants to do the right thing, but outside of the bounds of Empire law.
Mm-hmm.
So, So she's Antifa, basically.
Pretty much.
But you're like, yeah, Antifa doesn't steal cars unless you're of a certain leaning and you think anything happens there, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll call it there. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Brandon, for joining.
Always.
We'll be back next week, and we'll let you all go. If you enjoy the show, for let friends and family know, and select strangers to check out the podcast. And as well as being ready for some cool games coming out here over the next couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
That lineup is starting to fill out pretty well. So,
yep.
Yeah. Thank you all for tuning in. Hope you have a good week ahead. We'll see you all next time. Have a good one.